Hey there, and welcome to a Meaningful Mess podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thanks for listening. I'm your host, Andy McNair. I love sharing about and advocating for gifted education, talking about passion-based learning, aka Genius Hour, and just sharing practical ways to make learning meaningful for today's learners. If this is your first time to listen, please check out the trailer episode to learn more. But for now, let's dive into today's episode. Here we go. Hey, you guys, and welcome back to episode 74 of a Meaningful Mess podcast. You know, productive struggle is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and just the role that it plays in the classroom, how important it is for gifted learners, and specifically how it relates to Genius Hour, passion-based learning, and why it's such an important part of that process. I was recording a webinar earlier this week, and I was talking about how so many of our learners are, especially our gifted learners, are walking around under the assumption that if they do something wrong, or if they aren't as good at school as they should be, then maybe they just aren't gifted, or maybe they aren't as smart as everyone thinks that they are. And while most of us understand that nothing could be further from the truth, if that is their perception and that is their understanding, it's important that we give them an opportunity to experience productive struggle and to see it through the lens of being part of the learning process. Most of us know that without productive struggle, there are so many things that we wouldn't have learned. As adults, we've experienced that productive struggle. We've walked through it, and we know that on the other side of those obstacles is often opportunity. But if I'm a learner who's gone to school and everyone's always told me how to do, what to do, when to do, where to do, and I've never really had that opportunity to struggle and figure things out independently, the first time that happens, I start to feel a little bit weird. And so that's the conversation that I want to have today, not just about productive struggle, but specifically the role of productive struggle in the Genius Hour process. You know, if you haven't heard me share before, I always talk about passion-based learning and Genius Hour through the lens of my framework called the 6 P's of Genius Hour: passion, plan, pitch, project, product, presentation. You can learn more about that process over on my website at andymcnair.com/geniushour. I'll also share that resource in the show notes, which you'll be able to find at andymcnair.com/episode74. Okay, so let's just jump right in. I want to talk about 5 specific benefits or 5 specific reasons to prioritize productive struggle throughout Genius Hour. This type of learning works best when we're intentional and when we are purposeful with how we're implementing it. The whole goal of Genius Hour, or I would say one of the main goals, maybe is what I should say, of this type of learning is to give our learners the opportunity to be in the driver's seat, to let them make decisions and to let them experience struggle. But in order to do that well, I think we as educators have to really be intentional about what it's going to look like. And I kind of figured that out in my own classroom as I began to make this a priority and Genius Hour became a big part of our day. I had to recognize that even though they were in the driver's seat, I had to make sure that through my questioning and through the different things that I gave them an opportunity to experience as they worked on their projects, that I was giving them that intentional place or space to experience productive struggle. So let's just kind of jump in, talk about these 5 reasons. Number 1 is that it encourages learners to focus on the process. You know, I think this idea of process over product, we talk about it a lot. It's not a new concept, but I think so often in school, we focus on the outcome. We focus on the product. What did you make? What was your grade? What was the final outcome of whatever it is that you did? And in reality, that's not really where the learning happened, right? The learning happened in the doing. And so a lot of times when I'm talking about the 6 P's of Genius Hour and project and product, people will ask me like, what's the difference between project and product? I get confused. And I always say like the project is the process part of the work, right? That's when they're working on the project. That's the process. And then The outcome of them working on the project is to develop a product. Now, what I think it's important to remember, because sometimes teachers will connect with me and they'll say, I don't know what I'm going to do. We have a showcase coming up and this kid doesn't have a product. And my response is always typically the same, right? First of all, take a deep breath. Second of all, it's important to recognize that yes, they do have a product. It's just not the product that you expected, right? You expected a model volcano. That didn't work out. So instead, the product is going to be a reflection on what they've learned through that struggle or through that not working out. So I think it's important to always be open to the idea of a product not being what you expected it to be. There is always an outcome of the process, right? It might not be the tangible model or the experience that you expected, but the outcome may just be a lesson learned or the reflection on what they could have done differently. So this idea really encourages our learners to not just focus on the project, not getting the thing done, but what is happening in that process that is moving me toward getting that thing done. And so process over product is such a big concept, so important, and something that I think makes Genius Hour really beneficial for our learners, because so many of the other things that we do during the school day or in the classroom experience is focused on the outcome. And something like passion-based learning or Genius Hour is very much focused on the process rather than the product. So definitely something to consider. Number one, productive struggle gives our learners that opportunity to focus on the process rather than the product. All right, number two, productive struggle during Genius Hour, or really productive struggle in any situation, builds resilience and self-confidence. And resilience, I think, is something that so many of our learners are sometimes lacking, just that ability to keep trying something when it doesn't work the first time. Or sometimes it like totally works, but it didn't go the way that they've planned. And so because it didn't go the way that they've planned, they feel like they have failed. And so teaching them and letting them experience this idea of, I'm not going to give up until I get a result. Maybe not the result that I've expected, but a result. And that resilience is something that has to be built. It doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't happen by us doing a character lesson on it or telling them that they should be resilient. It really is something that they have to experience, they have to practice, and they have to do over and over again. And through that, they will learn that, hey, when I continue to work at it, there will be an outcome. And so thinking through that, that idea of being resilient often then leads to a self-confidence. And it's a different self-confidence. I think when I think about myself and the times that I've struggled or I've done things that were difficult or hard, the self-confidence that comes after those moments is different than like the self-confidence that comes when I do something that I always do or something that I'm very familiar with. It is it's just a reminder that I can do hard things, right? We all know that saying, and it's so important that we help our learners understand that. And I think sometimes we make the mistake of assuming that gifted learners or advanced learners are confident, and sometimes just the opposite is true, and they can mask that insecurity with what looks like confidence. But we want to build authentic self-confidence, not perceived self-confidence or that confidence that they sometimes put out there because of their insecurities, but that authentic self-confidence that comes from doing those hard things, doing those things outside of their comfort zone, and realizing that when they're resilient, they are able to make those things happen. So making Genius Hour a priority gives your learners the opportunity to do that in a really authentic space. And I think that's key. Like, we can teach these concepts. We can talk about them. I think it's a good idea to explicitly explain what they are. But it isn't until they're given the opportunity to connect these skills or these abilities with something that they care about that it'll actually take, right? That it'll stick with them and it'll become part of who they are as a learner. All right. Number three, prioritizing productive struggle throughout Genius Hour also develops our learners' problem-solving skills. I think that's another thing that is said often about this generation is that they don't really know how to solve problems, or that they want things to come easy, or they just want to look it up on Google. Well, of course they do. That's the world that they live in. But when we give them real problems to solve, not a word problem, not something that they can Google, like a legit problem that does not have a solution yet, and we give them an opportunity to work through that, I think it builds their ability to look at problems through a different lens and to look at it through their unique lens. I think that sometimes we forget in education is that every learner has this unique lens that they're looking at the world through. And so to expect them all to solve a problem in the same way, if we recognize that that's the reality, seems a little bit silly. They're going to solve problems differently, and it's important that we give them the opportunity to do so. And so one of the things that I remember in my classroom when I was implementing Genius Hour is that a lot of the times my learners were exploring and pursuing passions that I knew nothing about. Like, I couldn't help them if I wanted to because I didn't know. I legit had no idea what it even was. And so when they would come to a place where they had a problem or they weren't sure what to do, I could support them. You know, I just did a podcast recently on the idea of guiding questions and supporting questions, and I could ask those supporting questions. But as far as guiding them from point A to point B, that was difficult for me just because I didn't know. And I think that's another benefit of this type of learning is it puts us as the educator really in that position of lead learner versus teacher. And we have to let them develop those problem-solving skills just because we don't know the answers. And I think that can be really beneficial for us as educators and can also be really beneficial for our learners. So definitely an opportunity to develop those problem-solving skills, which leads back to that resilience and self-confidence that we talked about earlier. All right, number four, and this kind of partners with what we just talked about. It also fosters creativity and innovation. When I used to talk to my learners about the idea of being innovative, that can be a little bit intimidating. I know that even in my role as a digital innovation specialist, a lot of people will say to me, well, that's easy for you to think that way because you're innovative. And I'm always like, well, wait a second, because, you know, innovation, I think we sometimes think that means that we always have to be creating something new, right? That we always have to be developing something that has never been thought of before. And that's not necessarily the case. I used to always talk to my learners about, you know, innovation involves not only creating things that are new, but also making things better, something that already existed, and you can see a way that it could have been done better, or a way that it could be done differently. It's a different way of thinking about things. And so when we think about passion-based learning or Genius Hour in the classroom, giving them the opportunity to struggle and to sit in their struggle sometimes instead of us coming to the rescue, it allows them to get creative about how they solve those problems. It lets them think differently than they typically would. You know, I think a lot of our learners have those things that they lean on when things get difficult. They have their typical way of solving problems or their typical resource that they go to when they don't know the answer. And Genius Hour kind of puts them in a place where there may not be somewhere to go get those answers. And so they have to get creative in their thinking. They may have to be a little bit innovative and think about it differently in order to create whatever it is that they're setting out to create. There are so many moments in a Genius Hour project where a learner has to make a U-turn, right? They have to do something different, or there will be something in their way, an obstacle, and they have to figure out how to get around that obstacle. And when we first started Genius Hour in my classroom, I would get frustrated with those things, and I would want to help my learners like fix it. But the more I began to recognize what this looked like and how it impacted my learners, and I watched them build that ability to be creative and innovative, I realized that, oh my gosh, this is actually what makes this process so amazing and so powerful. And this is why it makes my learners want to be in the classroom, because it gives them the ability to think, in a different way and to be creative and innovative. And while that intimidated some of them at first, I think the more we began to walk through this process and implement Genius Hour, the more comfortable they became in their own creativity and their own innovative mindsets. So something to think about, fosters creativity and innovation. And then finally, it promotes collaboration and teamwork. This is number five. The fifth reason to prioritize productive struggle during Genius Hour is that it promotes collaboration and teamwork. You know, so many of our gifted learners don't enjoy group work, right? It's not their favorite. And that's just because sometimes they know, like, hey, when I'm put into a group, I know what the expectation is. It's my job to kind of keep the ship from sinking, or it's my job to make sure everybody stays on track and we get the right answers. But in a situation like Genius Hour, sometimes they are having to collaborate with someone else because they don't have the skill or they don't have the ability to get beyond the obstacle that's in front of them. A perfect example of that is giving your learners the opportunity to connect with outside experts. You know, sometimes when they're learning about something new or they're exploring something that they don't have all of the resources or thoughts or ideas to move forward on, that idea of collaborating with someone who knows more than they do, like an outside expert or a mentor, can be so beneficial, especially for gifted learners, because it reminds them of how much they don't know. Sometimes I think they come in with that idea of, oh, I know everything there is to know about this. Well, no, you don't. And it's that idea of connecting with an outside expert helps them see that in, again, a really authentic way. So whether it's connecting with an outside expert or utilizing thought partners, I think thought partnership is so important. In fact, I just created, if you haven't checked these out yet, I just created some Genius Hour resources that I've shared. I'll share the link in the, they're called Genius Hour Learning Guides. I'll share the link in the show notes. But I actually included in each part of the process that opportunity to connect with a thought partner, because what that does is it gives them the ability to hear from someone who may think of things that they haven't thought of. I know that for me, having a thought partner is so important. It's just that person who says, hey, have you thought of this? Or have you considered this? And oftentimes my answer is, oh my gosh, no. And that's a great idea. So whether it is connecting with outside experts, connecting with thought partners, even, you know, in my classroom, one of the things that I did was I had resident experts. So we were utilizing so much technology, things like Scratch and robotics and all of those things, because every kid was working on something different. And honestly, I just didn't have the time or the bandwidth to learn all of those things. And so I would have these kids be resident experts. And so I would have a kid who was an expert on Scratch. I would have a kid who was an expert on Dash and Dot, all of those things. And when another student needed help utilizing that specific resource or tool, instead of coming to me, they would go to that resident expert or that student who was really keen on or really understood that specific tool, strategy, or resource that we had in the classroom. And it just promoted that idea of we're all in this together, right? And that I don't have to know all of the answers. I can go collaborate with someone else or work with someone else in order to move forward on my project. So promotes collaboration and teamwork, just another benefit of productive struggle. You know, when they're in that moment of struggle, oftentimes it's helpful to go work with someone else. And we want them to see that instead of thinking that they always have to come up with the answers independently. That's not reality. That's not what it looks like beyond the walls of the classroom. I think that's such an important conversation that we start having in education right now, that there are so many things that we do at school that does not match what learning actually looks like beyond the walls of the classroom. That is a perfect example of one of those things. Okay, so let's just kind of go back over them one more time. Five reasons to prioritize productive struggle during Genius Hour. And if you want to kind of see a graphic on this, I shared over on my Instagram yesterday. So you can go check that out. You can find me on Instagram at @a_meaningful_mess. And you can find the graphic that goes along with exactly what we're talking about today. So the five reasons to prioritize productive struggle throughout Genius Hour. Number one, it encourages learners to focus on the process. Number two, it builds resilience and self-confidence. Number three, it develops problem-solving skills. Number 4, it fosters creativity and innovation. And number 5, it promotes collaboration and teamwork. So man, I hope this is something that you're considering. If you have any questions about Genius Hour, how to make it happen in the classroom, or just any of the ideas that we've explored today behind productive struggle, please feel free to reach out. You can connect with me on my website, andymcnair.com. Send me a DM on Instagram, whatever works for you. But man, I just appreciate you being a part of the community, giving me the time to listen today. I hope you have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.